2. I want to continue and finish dealing with this, and if it's all we deal with tonight, that's fine. It's hot and humid. I don't know. That always seems to be a good excuse for anything. It's hot. It was never an excuse for some of the farms I worked on. It didn't matter. And I always got the hay mow. I was always in the mow. Tim was on the wagon. Yeah. Tim. Oh, man. Yeah. And then we had made the dumb mistake of telling Tim. You ever see him? They put the bales up on the, they bring them up on the elevator. Tim, there's three or four of us up there. We thought we were Superman, you know, and we were just clipping along. And one of my friends yelled down there to Tim, and he said, can you speed it up? He put the bales on that elevator, butted them end to end. They were just shooting up, hitting us, and yeah. Oh, you know, if I worked that hard for 10 minutes, it would kill me in the state I am right now. I'd have a heart attack and die. Oh, yeah. $2 an hour. All right. Well, we've been having a little conversation up here. I'll let you in on it. I think everybody's back. So anyway, that's farm-raised. Well, you should have your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we've been looking there, especially at verse 12 and the issue of Paul identifying for the Corinthians a problem that they were encountering in the way they were actually treating the information they were given based upon the spirit of the world instead of the spirit which is of God. And that is the manner or the mannerisms of how information is treated in a very particular way. And one of the things that I want to try to end up talking to you about is that as I said last time, as you go through, it's a process that occurs kind of behind the scenes. I want to use the word naturally. It occurs properly. If you're properly being oriented and properly going through sonship establishment as you go through this first phase of level one, those successes, there should be some successful mannerisms or that spirit which is of God should be seen in the way that you view things now. Not everything maybe, but some successes where you say, you know, this wasn't a forced issue. It's just that I recognize that's not what my father's interested in, and I'm not interested in it anymore. Or something I wasn't interested in that I am now because he's interested in that. And in that way, your father's made you aware of that. That's something that he's producing, and you're handling information the way he would want you to handle it. So God comes along and really starts replacing the spirit of the world with the spirit which is of God. And if not, and you're going to operate with his information, albeit his information, on the spirit of the world, there's going to be conflict in the inner man. And therefore, as you try to rely upon and operate upon the spirit of the world, small case s, as the manner in which you take doctrine or take the information, even take the sonship curriculum that God gives you as his son, and you attempt to handle the things he set forth in the curriculum of your sonship edification from the spirit of the world, then and you all have it, and so do I, and it's in that replacement phase. But if you start doing that, then you're going to be much in the same kind of situation the natural man is in verse 14. And that's what I think Paul's driving at here. This isn't just simply Paul setting forth what is the natural man and what isn't. He's setting forth the fact that it's very possible you can be a believer in Jesus Christ and you can actually be desiring your education in Christ but operating with that information as a natural man would operate with it. That's what he's after here. He's not just simply trying to say, here's the spiritual man and here's the natural man. May they two never meet. No. He's saying you can be a born again, justified, sanctified, adopted son. And if you don't take the information and handle it in the manner your father handles it, But the spirit which is of God, the only thing that you're going to be left to deal with it in is your natural man. Your natural man isn't out of your body. It's still there. There's a deadness that has occurred, but you can still give it rope. So he comes along and he says what he does there in verse 14, especially in the latter part. Look at what Paul says there. He says, "For they are foolishness unto him," that natural man. The natural man operates solely on the spirit of this world. But here's what I'm after. Right after the colon there, he says, "Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." I can't tell you how many people think that the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned, large case S, Spirit. The Spirit just comes along and he kind of pulls like this great big screen down in your mind. And as you read the Bible and you pray and maybe hum or chant, "You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy," whatever state you get yourself in, that somehow he just flashes the answers. He's like the Holy Spirit's kind of like a tutor with spiritual flashcards. And he just flashes it to you. And it's spiritually discerned. And then you get this nutcase group. And they're not nuts, by the way. The guys that are doing it aren't nuts. Some of the people they have in their assemblies are nuts. I mean, truly, they've got mental illness. But the guys that are doing it are just manipulating a crowd where they'll stand up there and they'll go, they'll have their eyes shut for effect. That's even better. In the second row, third person over, I'm spiritually discerning. You've got a backache. Well, who hasn't had a backache? But you know, whatever, and these kinds of things. That's whether a lot of Christians realize it or not. Most of them never think of. I mean, the vast majority of Christians never even think nearly this deep. But they don't realize the fact that's not the spiritual discernment that's going on here. It's not the Holy Spirit doing spiritual flashcards in your inner man where you get, you know, it gets beamed in and all of a sudden you hear words in your mind or concepts come to your mind and it's the Spirit who's just back there dishing it in and dishing it in, that kind of thing. This is small case. As he says there at the end, neither can he know them. The natural man, when you operate on the spirit of the world, you're operating like a natural man. And just remember something, you Corinthian saints. Those things are foolishness unto him. That's why I've got people in my own family. They think I'm a fool for being a pastor and doing what I'm doing. They don't think I'm a fool for being a pastor, but for teaching this little bitty group here and for doing it the way I'm doing it, that I'm a fool. And if you're to come along and say, "Well, you know, the real fool here is the one who's down there praying on their knees the prayer of Jabez." Well, they would never, see, they think I'm blasphemous because of that. Or that the purpose-driven life has got a lot of information in it, but it's only void of one particular piece of information, and that's the purpose for life. It doesn't have that. But people will, and I know, I'm not trying to get you to pick fights with people or to create this kind of thing. I'm trying to get you to realize the importance of what Sonship Establishment does and what the remainder of our Sonship Establishment is designed to do. So, they're foolishness to him. But he can't know these things. Notice it says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually, small case s, spiritually discerned. God has made it so that the information, there's things that he is going to freely give you, some knowledge, some knowing of things, that the only way you're going to know them is by having them spiritually discerned. Which means it's going to take information. And you look at the information, and you can see the information, and the guy standing next to you can see the information. You both can read the words. The words mean the same to him as they mean to me. Exactly the same. He sees the words on the page, I see the words on the page. He knows what those words mean, I know what those words mean. What's the difference? The manner in which he handles those words. is different than the manner in which I handle them. And that makes all the difference. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, a natural man can look at the very same curriculum that God has given to you and to me. And not only will he not receive those words or that information properly because they are foolishness to him, but he's actually in a position where he cannot know what that's about, because they are small case s spiritually discerned. And that's not discerned by means of God the Holy Spirit. That's discerned by means of what he's just identified there as the Spirit, which is of God operating within you. It's not that the natural man, as I said, can't read the words. It's not that he can't comprehend them. It's not that he can't know what a word means. And some people think that. Some people think that an unbeliever, a natural man, can't read the Bible and understand it. I guarantee you that an unbeliever can read about Gideon and understand what's going on. And he can understand Noah's Ark. I even go into some people's houses that aren't even believers, and they've got a picture of Noah's Ark up there. Have their kids playing with one or something. They can understand what an ark is and who Noah was and what a flood is. They can understand what the words mean. It's not that. He cannot, though, understand and appreciate what it is that God's trying to get across in it. He can't. That's why God's teaching. He can't understand why God's teaching what he's teaching. The Bible is just a messed up collection of things. And he can't understand why God teaches what he teaches. And they get frustrated. Why doesn't he address my problem? Well, he is. They just don't know it. And teaching it in the order in which he teaches it. Why does he teach it in that order? Well, most people think it's that God's wrong and they want to reorder it. You've heard me talk about that many, many times. They're unable to understand and appreciate why he's teaching what he is in the order he's teaching it, and to be able to come along and put identifiable terms and names to the form of doctrine and to the components of those forms of doctrine, and to therefore be able to give a description of this curriculum, to describe what it is. A natural man can't do that. He can describe and try to pull out of the Bible a curriculum that he has done some manipulation with. That's why every single pastor that I ever knew, and I don't know anymore, that didn't come out right. Maybe it did. But all the pastors I ever knew who were so gung-ho about edifying the edification complex of the soul, none of them did it the way God did it. None of them. I don't know of a single one, including me. I tried to come up with one. Mine were ridiculous. I'm sure that God was up there just bent over. His knee was probably red from slapping it so hard. Look at what he's so off his beam. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't laugh at me. He probably cried. Oh, not again. None of them had it. Some of them didn't even have an element of it right. But none of them had it ordered right, because none of them had such high regard for God's word as to say, God has the books in there the way he wants them, the information the way he wants them, and we need to follow that. No, they knew more, and so therefore they reordered everything. And they would say, well, this is the first thing that every Christian should learn. That's a total joke today for me, because none of them got it right. It was God 100%, them 0%. Not one ever got it right. Not one ever started where God started. Not a single one. And the folks under their ministry think they've got something. And believe me, if you try to tell them otherwise, the fangs will come out. And you'll go away looking like a dummy. Where did this thing go wrong? But that's the nature of the beast. Well, anyway, we we just are trying to nail this down a little bit further to see that the natural man, he cannot know these things. They're spiritually discerned. And the reason why that natural man, or even the believer who operates with the information like the natural man does with the wisdom of this world, the reason why he can't see how all that fits together is because, as he says, they are spiritually discerned, small case s. They're discerned based upon that spirit which is of God. They're discerned based upon the fact that you have some previous information that God has given you that comes along and tells you, this is how I think. I don't care how your denomination thinks. I don't care how your seminary thinks. I don't care how your college thinks. I don't care how your institute thinks. This is how I think. That says, this is how I composed the curriculum. This is my understanding of the orderliness of the curriculum. By the way, when you look at wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, you think you could get those things out of order and teach them right? It's impossible. You of all people should be able to discern where you sit right now. You can't possibly make a just decision without some wisdom. You can't possibly make a judgmental decision without justice and wisdom. And you certainly can't make an equitable decision without having judgment, justice, and wisdom. They all build upon one another. There's an orderliness to them. But then, read Romans 12, 3 through 16. Do you think, how many verses is that? Quick. How many? 13. 14? 13. I can't think that much. 14? Have we come to a decision? Should we vote? Let's vote. 14 verses. What everybody says, I'm going with that. All right, we'll go with 14 verses. You think he's going to teach you everything he knows about wisdom in 14 verses? You're not even going to hardly scratch the surface of your father's wisdom in 14 verses. But he's going to give you exactly what you need, wisdom-wise, to start making wise decisions in a very particular manner that has to do specifically with what his business with you is going to be about. And it's to start getting you thinking, body thinking. And what that creature is not doing is that. And in almost everything that you get from wisdom down to equity in Romans 13 through 15, 7. I'm sorry, Romans 12, 3 through 15, 7. All of that is designed to instill and instruct you in things that creature out there and those angelic beings, those fallen, sorry, selfish, self-centered, egotistical, individually thinking angels out there who just want me, mine, and nobody else's, those sorry individuals that occupy those positions right now have none of that. And you're being taught some things that's going to be the antithesis of what's going out in that mess right now called the creature. Well, anyway, that's why I'm talking about that spirit that you it spiritually discerned is understanding that God comes along and says, this is how my edification process works. This is how the building process functions to me. All within God's own distinctive method of treating information in his own particular way. That's about as well as I can say it. That spirit which is of God and discerning it spiritually is understanding God's own distinctive method of treating information in his own particular way. And nobody else treats that information like he does, except for one of his properly educated sons and daughters. Outside of him and them, not even the angels treat that information the way a son is taught to treat it. And with only a cursory knowledge of that, If all you have is just a vague impression of the spirit of the world and the spirit which is of God, or a simply come along looking at Romans 2 and saying, okay, it's there. I acknowledge it's there. Well, the truth of the matter is you really don't get much further than that. You don't get much further than if you had no knowledge of it at all. If all you can do is come along with Romans 2 or 1 Corinthians 2 and acknowledge the reality or a vague impression that there's this thing called the spirit of the world and this thing called the spirit which is of God, and that without the spirit of God you can't get the information of God because their foolishness and spiritually discerned and so forth. If all you do is acknowledge that or just have a vague impression of it, you're not going to get much further than if you didn't even know about it in the first place. And that's the way this is commonly dealt with and treated by most Bible commentaries. And that's because you're still not dealing with the mechanics of it. That's actually given to you in a nutshell there in verse 13. Are the mechanics of it that Paul sets right. Because the mechanically, that's what verse 13 is telling you. Which things also we speak. Paul was teaching. He was speaking. I wish I could say this to myself. Everything he taught was within that spirit which is of God. The way he handled information and processed it and the manner in which he treated it was in the spirit which is of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But you have to have the spirit which is of God to do that, to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And that's a sonship operation all the way. Well, if all you can do is just acknowledge the two realms of the world and the spirit which is of God, you're not getting it based upon that spirit which is of God, the information. All you can do is say, okay, I got a system of thinking that's different from the one the world operates on. Do you know that's about as far as most Christians can go with it? They look at the Bible and they read passages like this and say, well, we've got a way of thinking that the world doesn't operate upon. And they'll talk about the world this and the world that and spiritually this and spiritually that and the world and the world and the world and the world. Yeah, well, it's easy to talk about, well, the world thinks it's okay for two guys to have sex and live together as married. The world thinks it's okay for the way that you pick out your mate is to try out the shoes before you buy them. You know what I mean? You think you got something deep there, do you? Can you see black? And then can you see white and tell one is different than the other? That's about as deep as you're going. But what I'm talking about is seeing the most subtle shade of gray as different from another shade. Because those same people who will say, well, the world says this, will never say, well, you know, the spirit of the world says to have a living Christmas tree. No, that's godly. Really. So we're supposed to celebrate Christmas based upon the Bible telling us so. By the way, I'm not down on you celebrating Christmas. But if you do it, don't do it with the hypocrisy of thinking that God taught you to do it, because he didn't. He could care less. In fact, he does care. I think he cares, but I'm not going to get into all that right now. I got too many hornet's nests I'm trying to stay away from in this minefield. But that's a good one to bring up, because that's the truth of the matter. I'm not supposed to, as my father's son, I'm not supposed to regard it that day above another. Man taught me that. The spirit of the world taught me that. I got to tell you, it may be a reality to me, but it's hard. It's a hard one, because I like some of those old Christmas carols. I like some of the doodads, and I like some of my memories as a boy and all those kind of things. But I acknowledge some things about it, hard as they may be. Well, I'm using myself in that, but you could use other things within a local church that they do, and we could belabor this more than than we need to. But all I'm saying in that is that if all you've got is just a shallow acknowledgement of what this is, all you can do is say, I got a system of thinking different from the one the world operates on. But whoopee-doo, so what? Listen, if you would ask that same person who would say, oh, we operate on a system different than the world, stop them and say, all right, I want you to define for me what the system of the world is. Define it. And then define for me the system that's of God. They couldn't do it. They just see there's two systems. There's the cosmos diabolicus, which is never in the Bible, but the cosmos diabolicus, it's the satanic world system. You're still not defining it. You as a son will be able to see all of those matters. And listen, the maturity level that you'll have is that you're not going to point all those out, those foibles out to other people. But you will have the discernment to be able to maneuver through the minefield of all the things that could set that person off and recognize where we need to begin. And let's begin there. And let these other things take care of themselves as the Word of God does the work in the inner man. Because you don't want to throw a stumbling block in front of that brother. Because that sorry, rotten, thinking Christian is still a part of your body. And you've got to recognize this. Jesus Christ himself would still go to that cross, and he would sacrifice himself and die on that cross for the stinkiest toe on the body. That's how much he thinks of the body of Christ. Well, the truth of the matter is, most folks look at what Paul says here, and all they can do is say, I got these two systems. One is of the world, the other is that of God, but I can't really define it. They can't come along and give you a detailed description of what the spirit of the world even is. And nor can they do that with the spirit which is of God. And the truth is, outside of sonship edification and how that produces the spirit which is of God within you, especially during the phases of sonship orientation and sonship establishment, all you're going to be left with is attaining good information, even maybe godly information, but you're housing that information within the spirit of the world. That's a tragedy. You thought, holy cow, Mark, I thought the biggest trouble I was going to have is just being here honestly and listening carefully. Would you take that from your son or your daughter? I wouldn't. You know, there's a parallel there. Some families have mannerisms. And whether it's said in a good way, or most times it's said in a bad way, to use my own last name, it would be like, yeah, I can tell he's a newbold. And there are certain things that all of us newbolds had in common. There was a spirit within us. Some things you could just say, well, that's just the newbold. That's the way they do things. And some people didn't like it. Some people did. And maybe in your background, it's the same way with you. I think all the families have that when they're close-knit like that. The Earp brothers, maybe I should have used them. That would be a better example. Wyatt, Morgan, and what was the others? Can't remember all the Earp brothers' names, but they all had that attitude and that kind of spit-in-your-eye courage and confidence in knowing what they could do with a gun, and they're all lawmen, I think. But yeah, it's a vague parallel. But this is getting a mannerism like your father, your heavenly father. And it's a sad thing to have to come along and say, well, I'm getting what my father says, but I'm housing it within the spirit of the world. You wind up a Corinthian in your thinking and in your life. And most of the body of Christ today operates just this way. They may be very aggressive about Bible study. They may be very sincere, earnest, kind, little old ladies who would never miss a Bible class type thing all the way to the rah, rah, rah crowd, very serious about it, and they may even be getting Bible doctrine. But because they have denied the manner in which a godly mind works, or the godly manner in which a son's mind properly works and handles information, that information that they are getting remains powerless to produce what God has designed for it to produce. At best, it can only run in their life on a small fraction of a percentage of what it was designed to operate and the power it was designed to give them. I mean, there's people who will stand on truth of the Word of God, but because they have no spirit of God within them, that spirit that, and I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit, you understand. I'm talking about the spirit which is of God. They're maybe operating on a fraction of what that thing was designed to do. It's just impossible, because you're not going to, in things, happenings, events, daily life, whatever it is, isn't processed with that in mind. It's processed with the natural man's spirit, the spirit of this world. This is one of the problems of people walking out of church on Sunday, going to work on Monday, and nothing's changed. No difference. They handle their lives, their professional lives, differently than they handle their lives in here. That can't happen with a son or a daughter. You handle life the same way no matter where you are. And notice as we close, we'll just do this and finish. That last part of verse 12, we have received the Spirit which is of God. Look right after the semicolon. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You realize the things that He's giving you, your whole sonship curriculum, not just this level, but all of it, it's not a puzzle. It's not a Sudoku that you have to be smart to figure out. It's not some sort of that's a new sound. I didn't even know we had a doorbell. Oh well. What was I saying? It's not a the curriculum for our sonship education isn't a Da Vinci Code thing. It's not one of these goofy things that they say. You know, there are more people who are more aggressive and spend most of their time trying to figure out the hidden codes of the Bible in the Hebrew. By the way, the only Hebrew text that works in is the one that was translated, that the King James translators use. The other Hebrew texts don't work. But they think they got something in that. You know, the numerology thing where they're trying to run these sequential series of letters where they come up with all kinds of extra revelations from the Bible. They'll dive headlong into that stuff. Spend hours on their computers working out all of these problems. Sonship is much easier than that. It's not that. The difficulty you have with sonship is the difficulty of having the Spirit of God within you, the Spirit which is of God, to handle the information. That's where it falls apart. Because these are things, God says, that we might know the things that are toughly given to us of God. It doesn't say that. It says the things that are freely given to us of God. It doesn't say the things that are with great difficulty given to us of God. And the point is, if you don't have the Spirit which is of God, you're not going to know those things that are freely given to you of God. You're going to have trouble knowing what you ought to know. That's how critical this is. And that's why, all the way back there in the book of Proverbs, when wisdom cries and uttereth her voice in the streets, she comes along and says, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my small case S spirit unto you. I will make known my words to you. That's how those words are made known. It's not the Holy Spirit. It is Him. I mean, He's critical. He leads you through the curriculum. But the way you handle the information comes from having the Spirit of your Father, His small case S spirit, the Spirit which is of God, which allows you to have those, like we talked about, mannerisms. Or you think in the manner He wants you to think and treat information in His particular way. That is the difference between how a son thinks and how an average Christian thinks. The son handles Bible information in the manner in which his father particularly and peculiarly handles it. He knows how to do that. And that comes from time spent being oriented and established as your father's daughter and as your father's son. And the more time you spend with him, this is one of the critical things of sonship prayer. And just the time spent. But isn't the adversary good at taking all of our time and we wind up using it on things that aren't going to make a hill of beans matter in the long run? You know, time management has a spirit of this world concept to it and a spirit which is of God concept to it. That's why he addresses time management at certain places within the curriculum. Because even that is something that is either godly or ungodly. All right, we're out of time. Any questions or comments? We haven't nearly exhausted this passage or really buttoned it up yet. I'm going to leave it open-ended for a little while here, but we're going to Sunday then come back to Romans 9, 10, and 11 and start getting going. But this is what is ahead of us. Makes you think, doesn't it? It doesn't have to be a question. You got a comment. Has anybody seen any of this in their life? I don't know if we want to even ask that question, but some are shaking their head, yeah. I know I have. I'm amazed, really, at myself sometimes. Well, I hope so, yeah. I wanted to be clear, and I wanted it to also give us the understanding of something else going on behind the scenes there.
Huh? We're giving an example that we both know, but you don't know.
Oh.
We cannot share.
Okay. Okay. Well.
She studied everything that Katie has studied, and her attitude is to be willing to learn and so on, but her filter is different. So everything that comes back out is.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that can be frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, you just want to choke some people in a loving way. Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, this goes beyond just rightly dividing too. I mean, these are issues that get down to the core of the matter of godly edifying, which is in faith. And I mean, your Father, your Heavenly Father, He expects a lot. But what's great is He designed you to do it. Even as shallow as the gene pool's gotten, there's hope for me. I mean, that's amazing. But I was glad to go over what we did Sunday because sometimes I need to remind myself of that hope. Because that still is the grandest dawning of any concept on my mind in my whole life. I mean, even beyond Christ dying for me, that I could be a part of bringing functional life to a creature that, that my Father's created for me to operate in. I mean, you don't get any of that in Sunday school or summer, what do they call it, Bible, vacation Bible school. But, you know, when you hear people like Einstein and people like that talk about how little of the human mind is ever used, how little of the human brain is ever used, they're right. And there's nothing they can produce to take a, to put it, to engage it to that degree, but our Father can. I mean, it's amazing what He's designed us to be able to have the capacity for in our inner man. It's just a, it's almost like me. That's why I always keep, me? I'm surprised you even recognize me. But you want me to work with you? Yeah, I think, yeah. Well, definitely in that resurrection body, we'll be firing on all cylinders, yeah. Well, we'll have plenty of time. All right. Well, we've got our work cut out for us, that's for sure. And, you know, some folks are going to think we're crazy, but you're in good company. All right. Nothing else? Let's close in prayer.